to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? How was your month? Yes, it's the end of the month, a start of a new one. And before you say that it was good, it was fine, check yourself. And I hope that it truly was. But can you offer up why it was fine? If someone asked you how you won this month, could you tell them? Have you been tracking your wins and your successes, or are they just assumed? And I'm guessing if you look back over your month, you will be reminded of situations that perhaps didn't go the way you wanted, the way you had hoped. I know this for me is totally the case. I had my Facebook account suspended, and then I follow all the steps to have it reactivated. I appeal the decision. I send in my ID. I check all the boxes, only to be told that my account has been permanently suspended and this decision is not reversible. I read through the policies and the conditions, and I assured them that I didn't break any rules. My team assured me that they didn't break any rules, but nonetheless, they took me down. And now Facebook, as you know, is not just Facebook. It's Instagram. And it turns out if you use Facebook to log into any other account, there is more work to be done and required to reestablish all of these accounts. And as I was looking more into this, I realized that this is a thing. It's not just some fluke. Thousands of people are taken down due to AI and reversed with what I'm told is proper, consistent communication, all of which I'm trying to do. But I literally had to shift and pivot my strategy for social media. I had to shift in my strategy for Facebook and Facebook ads and Instagram. And I know it will no doubt be a learning curve, but I'm prepared to figure it out. And if any listeners out there have any recommendations, that would be lovely. I'm all in to hear all of the wisdom with the Facebook gods. So if you have access, let me know. So back to the show. I talked last week about the importance of our health and how in order to reach the best of our human potential, it was critical to take care and protect our health. And we talked about our physical health and how important to our energy and our productivity it was to cultivate physical habits and practices. Today, I want to talk to you about our mental health and how we cultivate mental health habits and the importance of it. And so why is our mental health important? Three reasons. First, it affects our interpretation of the world. Do we look at things as unfair, unjust? Do we judge other people and how they show up? Do we compare ourselves to others and suggest that we are not capable, that we weren't afforded the same privilege, that it is just easier for them for some reason? They're smarter, prettier, more successful, and we use the comparison to interpret our situations as fixed. Do we make assumptions about people before we meet them? Do we make assumptions of people we already know with this thought? Here we go again. Seems like a cute thought, but friends, it's not. Usually, here we go again, comes with a roll of the eyes and a big sigh. And interestingly enough, you are creating the here we go again in your head. You are looking for proof that they will indeed show up that way, that they will be late, that they will be cranky, that they will be moody, that they won't answer their phone, that they won't return your text, that they will ask for an extension. And because your brain wants to prove you right, it will. And people will be exactly like you think they will be. Think about that one and the impact your mind has on the day-to-day interactions you have with others. Because how can it be that two people going through the exact same situations can have completely different experiences? It's because of our mental health. When it is healthy, our interpretations of the world are healthy. Our thoughts are what I'm going to call fit. Our thoughts are organized. They're uncluttered. We interpret through acceptance versus resistance. We interpret through abundance versus scarcity. We interpret through optimism versus pessimism. We interpret through a growth versus fixed set of philosophies. So that's the first reason why this conversation is important. The second reason is because it affects whether we make progress on our goal and if we don't. And I know we've all heard this, whether you can or you can't, you are right. But again, you friends, common sense is not common practice. How much time are we really spending extracting our thoughts? How often before we do anything, are we saying to ourselves, what are my thoughts leading me to execute in this way? Are they in scarcity? Are they fixed? No, we're not spending time. We're not looking at what we're doing and going, I wonder what thoughts are creating the feelings that are inspiring me to do or to not do this thing. That's the work of personal development, right? And so what most of us not doing this work is creating is a lack of a practice. And we wonder why we continue to keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. We change our company ideas, but the same losses happen. We date, marry the same people, just with a different name. It's because how we think directly corresponds to how we feel. And how we feel either motivates us to take action, to execute, to do what we say we're going to do, or it doesn't. We think we don't do what we want to do. We think we don't get the results we want in our life because we don't know how. But that's not true at all. The how is figure outable. We don't do what we know. We do who we are as a state of thinking and feeling. So it would make sense then if we have healthy thinking. Because when we do have healthy thinking, we also have healthy goal accomplishments. We also have healthy successes. And if you want to be more committed to your goals, to your achievements, we have to focus on a different muscle. We have to get really good at flexing our brain. No different to wanting a healthy physical body, you have to do the work for your brain. And the last reason why this work is so important is having a healthy mind affects how we show up in our relationships with our children, with our staff, with our colleagues, with our patients, with our clients. It affects how we go through our day. Are we just going through the motions, out of bed, grabbing the coffee, getting ready and out the door? Or are we more intentional about our morning and our routines? Are we thinking about who we want to be and who needs us to show up just a little bit more compassionate? Who needs us to show up just a little bit more assertive, challenging, and inspiring the very essence of other people? Because without intention, we will no doubt continue to go through our days doing the same thing over and over and over again and wondering why we do not have the results we want in our life, why we don't have the relationships that we want with our families and our friends and our colleagues, why we feel as if we are either just going through the motions on repeat or burning out in the overwhelm and the exhaust on repeat. Again, we know this, but nothing changes until we do. So for me, it helps me to think about the health of our mind like we do the health of our bodies. And so for purposes of this episode, I'm going to call it our fitness, our brain fitness. Because just because you can run miles and miles and miles, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are strong or flexible or coordinated or have great balance and agility. It just means that you have good endurance. And good endurance cardio is not necessarily the same thing as sprinting cardio. Sprinting cardio is anaerobic in nature. So we have all of these components of our physical fitness, anaerobic, aerobic, agility, balance, flexibility. But what makes up our brain fitness? I'm going to share with you five different components that I think, as I was thinking about this, that make up our brain fitness. The first one is boundaries. What are you willing to tolerate? It is an obvious boundary marker, but what about boundaries with regards to what you let in your head? What are you listening to? Is it propaganda with just more judgment and hate, or is it uplifting and inspirational? What are you allowing into your brain? Because I promise whatever you're allowing into it orients it. Who do you spend your time with? Do you spend time with individuals that are future focused and empowering and self-sufficient? Or do you spend your time with complainers and blamers? Have you ever noticed that when you are around other people, you pick up on their mannerisms? If they swear, you might start incorporating some swear words in your speak. If people use the words like love and hun, right? You might pick them up as well. I pick these up from my mom all the time. She called everyone hun and love and sweetie. Similarly, if you're around people that complain and judge and have a negative attitude, it is super hard, if not impossible, to get yourself out of that way of being. You also need to have boundaries as it relates to your commitments. And I'm talking about your commitments to yourself. Are you doing what you say you're going to do? Or is everyone else more important? You have to set boundaries on your time, which means we have to be on to our people pleasing. Where are you saying yes against your will? And where is this yes affecting how you are able to show up and do things that matter? The second element of brain fitness is focus. All of the distractions created by a cluttered brain create lack of focus. It is important for us, just like a cluttered house is a chaotic home, a cluttered brain is a chaotic brain. It's really hard to focus when your brain is ruminating and worrying and thinking about the past. The brain is far better off trying to be future focused than past focused. When it gets stuck in the past, your brain tries to write it, write the mistakes, thinking that regret is useful, helpful, necessary. And when we get stuck, distracted in what if land, we need to reorient our brain to what if in future terms. Instead of what if this thing goes bad, we need to reorient to what if this goes amazing. Three, decision making is an area of mental fitness because, friends, doubt is exhausting. Confusion is overwhelming. Indecision is crippling. And a healthy mind makes decisions. The reason why we find ourselves in doubt, confusion, indecision is because we are making the decision from scarcity. We think, most of us anyway, that when we make a decision, that we line up the pros and we line up the cons and we choose which one has the most pros associated with it. But I don't think that's how most people make decisions. I think most people make decisions based on the cons and which con is more tolerable. And when we make a decision from these cons, from scarcity, it's no wonder why we doubt our decisions, because our decisions are no longer than congruent with who it is that we are and who it is that we want to be. So think about some of the last decisions that you've made in your life. Think about where you butt up against a choice. And if you have concerns in the quickness of making those decisions, I want you to think about how you actually made that decision. Did you make it from a place of abundance? A place of no matter what decision I make, I will write it? Because both of them are from abundance in our thoughts? Or do we make it from cons on which one is most tolerable? Number four, mental fitness requires planning. And I know I talk a lot about it, and I do it on purpose. I'm still amazed when I take on a new client and they don't have a planner. They don't have any goals written down. They don't have tasks. They don't have anything they're aiming for written out in such a way that they can track and plan and assess. What is going well? What is it? Planning, when I think about planning as a component of mental fitness, it's like physical flexibility. Without it, you can be in really great shape cardiovascularly. You can be super strong physically. You can be agile. You can have great balance. But if you're tight and inflexible, you will no doubt hinder progress and potential in each of these areas. We need a plan, my friends. Too rigid isn't the way. Too flexible isn't the way, right? Too flexible will create all sorts of injuries physically. Too tight will create injuries. No, the same is this is in our mental facility. We need a plan. We need routines and schedules and goals and tasks and to-dos. And we need to make Sunday set a habit. Like taking 30 minutes or an hour every Sunday to set up your week, friends, is a game changer. If you're not doing that, I want to challenge you to do it this weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sundays, no matter. But can you take that time to set up your week on purpose? If you want to accomplish more in your life, you want to have the flexibility to create spontaneity, you need to have a plan. And I've tried not doing it. I've tried months trying to do it on a whim, and it doesn't work. And if you have big goals, if you have big dreams, then it really doesn't work. And I want all of you to have really big dreams and really big goals. So in order to do that, we have to have big plans. And the last one, the last component of brain fitness is our memory. And it's really important to strengthen this part of the brain for obvious reasons, right? It's important to remember people's names, people's birth dates, your anniversary. It's also important to know where your keys are. You have to remember to pick up your kids when they're supposed to be picked up. But your memory is important for other reasons as well. As we rewire and fire coding that is healthy, we want to be able to remember the code. We want to be able to remember what it was that we had thought about when we had that breakthrough, when we had that aha moment, when we showed up and we're like, wait a second, I'm actually committing, I'm actually following through on what it is that I said I was going to do. What was it that I was thinking? What was that code that created this feeling of confidence, of commitment, of dedication, of perseverance, of discipline that has me showing up, doing that thing that I committed to? That's a really important and impactful code to remember, wouldn't you say? When do we show up on our A game? What were we thinking? Who were we showing up being? This is all part of that memory, part of that brain fitness that's super important in us not only remembering where we should go, but in paving the path for us to get there. We want to be able to recall the thoughts that supported our best becoming. And these are just a few of the components of brain fitness. I'm sure you have many others, and I would love to know what components of brain fitness, as you think about your own mental health, what components you've used to make progress and to pave the way for that next enlightened version of you. And just like it is important with our physical health that we work on getting fit physically, we must make it a priority to get fit mentally. So how do you do the work on your brain health? How do you make progress in these areas? And I'm just going to offer, just like you would with your physical fitness, you work on them. You're not going to ever get more flexible if you don't stretch. You're not going to ever get any stronger unless you lift weights that tear the muscle. It's in the repair and the rebuild that you strengthen that muscle. Similarly, these areas of brain fitness need to be worked on, practiced. It has to be part of your overall wellness plan if you want to ensure that you have abundant perspectives, that you accomplish your goals, and you have relationships that are meaningful and that last. And one of the best ways that I think we can do this is by talking. Yeah, yes, it's that simple. But I think talking is a lost art. When was the last time that you were with your girlfriends or guy friends and you talked about what you wanted? I mean, what you really wanted, the goals that you have, and why you're nervous or fearful or scared. Does anyone know about your goals? I mean, the goals that you barely allow yourself to think about without quickly dismissing them as ridiculous or impossible? What do you secretly want? Does anyone know? Why? Why don't they know? Do you think they could make fun of you? Do you think that they would think that who she thinks she is, that that's not possible for her? Do you think that they would think it was stupid or prideful, conceited? And in all honesty, who might think that truly? Who? Name them, write them out. When we do that, honestly, it's like one or two people, but we say everyone, what would everyone think? And then we stop short of trying to accomplish that goal because of the one person, two people. And when we really think about who those people are, they're not even relevant to us anymore. They're people we went to high school with, or maybe people that we graduated or went to college with, or somebody that has been in our company for a really long time and we're afraid to quit our company because that's what we were really successful at. And who do we think we are to try something different? And so it's really important for us to understand why we've not told the people in our life our dreams and our wants, because that is critical in getting the want. Because if you're not sharing your want because you don't think it's possible, because you don't think it's available for you, I think all of that's pretty good awareness, don't you think? Your belief in yourself and your ability to talk to people and share with them your wants allows you to get really good intel on your own beliefs and the beliefs of other people. The belief effect matters. The research on it is fascinating. You must find a way to believe in your goal, even if you have no business believing. And you have to stop needing their permission, their support, their validation. The only person that really matters in any of this is, do you believe in you? Can you give yourself permission to chase and blow your own mind with what you're capable of? You have to unpack your stories. You have to share your wants, your dreams, your desires. We need to collectively, collaboratively, as a society, be more social. It's not an option. Your mindset is only as fixed as it is inflexible. We need to stretch our mind. We need to think outside of what we know and believe to be true. We need to know what we think and how we think about everything. When we think about getting stronger, we don't just think about our quads. We just don't focus on the squat. If so, we will no doubt have imbalances. We'll have overly tight hamstrings and no upper body strength at all. And we might be able to squat down, but we won't be able to lift anything up. Same with our thoughts. If we only work on thoughts around money, but we don't work about our thoughts with regards to our spouse, with regards to our colleagues, with regards to our time, we will not be in balance. We will not be congruent. We need to access every area of our life, our money, our time, our body, our weight, our homes, our relationships with our kids, our spouses, our travel, our health, our wealth, our family, our towns, our religion, our faith. We have to understand what these stories, what these thoughts, these collection of thoughts that become our beliefs that clutter our brain or declutter it. We have to understand the programming that we're operating from in order to have the best brain fitness. Doing this mental work is imperative to living into the best of who it is that you are. Knowing your identities, knowing your shoulds, knowing your stories, knowing where you have like all or nothing thinking, knowing what it feels like to honor the truth in your head and your heart, where you become free to be who you want to be and do who you want to do and live in flow and ease. That's the stuff. That's the stuff of self-mastery, of self-improvement. And when you condition the brain in such a way that it is fit and ready for anything that might come your way, you are up to the challenge of holding your boundaries and being focused and ready to go and able to make decisions quickly and abundantly and planning your days with purpose. That is the way you live a purposeful life. And remembering and drawing from knowing and honoring the best of who it is that you are. Have a beautiful weekend, my friends. If you want help strengthening your body or your mind, grab a free strategy call. I would love to support you in your becoming. I only offer a few every week. So if you want to do this work, grab one with me at my website, www.leahrowling.com, one L. I also have some fun new giveaways on my website. So if you want to grab the confidence course or the success download or the Live Lighter workbook, you can snag those on my website as well. I hope you have an amazing one and I will see you all next week.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.